I'd like to ask you this morning if you would join me in your Bibles in the book of Genesis chapter 26. I've often pondered this truth in our Lord's Word. God loves some and hates others. What a powerful thing to consider. In Malachi 1, the end of verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3, we read, "Saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob, and I hated Esau." Now, I know we refer to this very scripture when we consider how the world teaches and preaches that God loves everybody. But we sit and consider those very words. They're much more deeper than pointing our finger at what the world is doing out there. "Yet I love Jacob, and I hated Esau." The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, was referring to this very scripture in Malachi when he was addressing the Romans in chapter 9, where we read, "For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born." Don't miss that, folks. The children being yet not born. They hadn't even taken a breath of life yet. And God had set His affection on one and left the other to Himself. I don't think I can be expressive enough to cover that. That's how deep that is. "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth." It was said unto her, "The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." That's some pretty deep stuff. What amazes me most, and I've heard Pastor Gene, I've heard Don Fortner, I've heard Milton Howard, I've heard Donnie Bell, I've heard a lot of preachers say this very same thing. It's not that he would hate Esau. I understand God Almighty hating sin and not being able to look at it. I mean, not fully. But from what I can see in scriptures, the God of all creation is so holy, so perfect, that He cannot even look upon imperfection. I understand that. I think. I also understand that we, all who have ever walked this earth, are as imperfect can be. Our very nature is to sin against our God. What amazes me most is not that He would hate Esau, but that He would love Jacob. What in the world does the God of all creation see in Jacob? That was a trick question. There's nothing in this world that He sees in Jacob. But He does look upon Jacob, because Jacob's name was written in a book before the world was ever created. just as all of God's children's names were written down in this book. It's the book of love. True love. A love that God has for a people that He had chosen from before the world was, that He was going to redeem those people and bring them unto Himself. He says, I will be their God and they will be my people. Doesn't say maybe. Doesn't say it might. He says, they will be my people. The same thing he says in the New Testament, where he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Yeah. It bears repeating over and over again, folks, there will be no empty seats in heaven. God has chosen a people unto Himself, and He will have them. And that's a rock that His people can stand on. That's a solid rock we can stand on. Our Creator has promised it, and it shall be so. How often have I told you I love the gospel of election? Because I know that in my heart, what little I know of it, the wickedness that I see in my heart, that if God continued to allow John Reeves to walk this earth the way I was at the age of 40, I would continue right on in that very same thing that I did. I could continue right on walking the same way, not having a care for my Lord, not caring about Him in any way, but yet God loved John Reeves. Jacob was wicked from his mother's womb. He even wrestled with his brother in the womb, it says. Are you with me in Genesis chapter 26? Join me in reading verse 21 through 26, please. And they digged another well. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. I said the wrong chapter. Chapter 25. I did it once again. I look at the top and see the 26, and that's what I'm thinking of. All right, chapter 25, verse 20, verses 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people. Don't miss that. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. This one who God loves, who has so loved with the same love that he has for all of his elect, was wicked from the get-go. Right out of the gate. Read on in verse 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall his birthright do to me? shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Scripture goes on to tell us that Jacob took the blessing from the firstborn, but he took it by deceiving his father in his old age and blindness. Jacob was a natural man. He was looking out for his own interests, living according to his own little world, wasn't he? Sound like anyone you might know? Sounds just like me. Folks, I'll tell you this, the fruit of this one Jacob did not fall far from the tree that it came from. Look over at chapter 37 of this very same book. Jacob had gone on to grow, and he wrestled with God, it says, a few pages back. He wrestled with the holiness of God. He wrestled with the sin that dwells in all who walk this earth. He wrestled with his own unrighteousness before a thrice holy God, and he prevailed. Scripture tells us he prevailed. How could Jacob prevail wrestling against these things? He did it the same way all who wrestle with sin do. We prevail in our Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. Our Lord took our sins upon His own body when He went to that tree. He fought the fight for us and prevailed. Not only did He die on that tree for our sakes, He took those sins into the grave and He left them there buried and was raised again. He now sits at the right hand of the Father on high, ruling over everything. And that, my friends, is proof that He prevailed for us. How can you and I wrestle with the sin that is in our life? First question is, do you know that sin is in your life?
Yes.
We spoke of this in Bible study. Why would somebody look for God if they don't think they need Him? The self-righteous Pharisees of Israel, they thought they were righteous of everything. See all the good stuff that I do? I made a decision to follow the God. I made this. I did this. I dress right. I go to church on Sundays. I do this. I do this. I. They didn't know that they needed a Savior. They thought they were righteous in their own works. Do you wrestle with sin in your life? There's one who has conquered it for you. If you belong to Him, and if He has shown you what you truly are, He'll show you He's the Savior. I came to save sinners, our Lord said. And that's exactly what He's going to do. Save His sinners. Jacob wrestled with God in this very thing, and he prevailed. He prevailed the same way all do in our Savior Jesus Christ the Lord, who fought the battle for us and is victor over sin and death. Folks, people who believe that they have done something to be accepted, if they believe they have made a decision to be accepted, if they believe that they have walked the aisle to be accepted, if they believe that they got baptized to be accepted, if they believe that they worship on Saturday to be accepted, whatever you want to put in there, if you believe you have done something to be accepted, those who believe their works are what makes the salvation of God effectual. They do not wrestle with their sin. They do not wrestle with the filthy rags of their own righteousness. That's what God calls the righteousness of men. You know that, right? That's what God's word is. Our righteousness is that of filthy rags. And I'm not talking about a washcloth that fell off out here in the dirt and got a little dirt on it. We're talking about soaked. We're talking about a woman who had an issue of blood. The vilest, filthiest thing you can think of, that's what God sees in the flesh of men. If you believe that you have a righteousness that holds you up before God, then you do not wrestle with your depravity. You are still under the bondage of sin that declares there is some good in you. And folks, we are all in that very same boat, and we have been there at one time or another. In Ephesians 2:1, our Lord says this. He says, through Paul, and you hath he quickened, given life to, raised from the dead, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's God's word about you and I at one time. But he doesn't stop there. You see, from the time that Jacob wrestled with his own unrighteousness and he prevailed over his own depravity, he walked with a limp afterwards. He walked a different life. He walked in faith of God. And to prove that, God gave him a limp from that time on. In Ephesians 2 verse 4, we read this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Jacob have I loved. Aren't you bursting with thankfulness that God has loved somebody? And didn't leave us to ourselves as he has others? As he has Esau? I'm going to ask our brother Mike, and I haven't done this yet, so I guess I'm doing it right now, brother Mike. I'd like you to read that poem about Esau for the conference. Would you mind considering that for us? Appreciate it. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jacob have I loved, saith the Lord." I can understand the Lord's hatred for Esau. God hates all iniquity. He cannot look upon sin. I said a moment ago, the fruit does not fall far from the tree. Jacob was blessed with 12 sons, come to be known later as the 12 tribes of Israel. And God gave victory to Jacob. After God gave victory to Jacob, the Lord changed his name to Israel. So let's read about the sons of Jacob. Are you with me in the chapter 37 of Genesis? Look at verses 1. "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report," speaking of his brothers. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Now after that, Our Lord tells us that Joseph had dreams, which only riled up his brothers against him even more. We see Joseph going out to meet his brothers in the field, feeding the flock. Look at verse 18. "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we'll say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." What a picture we have. What a picture we have of those who are to be known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Those who will be blessed of God to carry His oracles. What a picture we have of natural men. They sold their brother into slavery. They sold their brother into slavery for no other reason than the father loved him. You might say, this cannot be a picture of me. I would not do that. Then you call God a liar. I know those are strong words for me to say to you. Folks, you don't have to actually do something to commit the sin. You realize that the anger you may have in your heart for someone, for whatever reason, and you may have a just reason to be angry for it, is the same as killing them. You may think, I know it's not mine, but I sure want that. That's the same as stealing it. You may look at another person and say, I know I can't be with that person, but I sure would like to be with that person. That's the same as committing the sin. It doesn't matter what your sin is, for all sin has the same cost. Death. You ever hear of a white lie? There's no such thing as a white lie. A lie, the cost of a lie is death. Our Lord says this, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Well, not mine. Not my heart. My heart's fine. I don't think of any of those things about anybody like that. My heart's in great fine. You called God a liar. This is God's word. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? He also says in 1 John, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's God's word. That's not mine. That's God's word. He also says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The punishment for any sin is the same. Hebrews 9 verse 22, it says this, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. That means it's all cost the same thing, doesn't it? No matter what your sin is, it's still the same cost. In Ephesians 1:3, we read this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. The very one who gives us the victory over our sin. According as he hath chosen us, he the Father hath chosen us in him the Son before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Redeemed. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. Yes, I stand before you a sinner. The worst of all. And I can say that because I can't look into your hearts and see what sins you have. But I can look into mine and I see what I have. Redeemed. What a wonderful thing to proclaim to those in the world. The price is paid. Remission for the sins of John Reeves. Because of my Savior, my Lord, who shed his blood for me. And that's the same thing each and every one of God's elect can say. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Malachi 3:6, it says this, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If it wasn't for the providential hand of my God, I hate to think of what I could be. I could be going to the church of the Seventh-day Adventist where they believe that we show up on Saturday and therefore we are saved. I could be the vile one who walks into a building and kills a bunch of people worshiping. Who makes us to differ? Who makes you or I any different from those who walk out in the world? It is the love of God shined in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes you and I to differ. The love that He has for us is the same love that He had for Jacob. It's the same love that He has for all of His people. All the Old Testament saints saw ahead to a Savior that would come and lay down His life and shed His own blood for their sakes. All the Old Testament saints stood on the promises of God. My Lord has promised it. It will be. That's the same thing you and I believe, isn't it? Our Lord has promised it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He has promised that my sheep hear my voice. He has promised I shall never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what storms are coming up around us. Oh, those fools in the ship. And slow to believe. That fool in the ship, John Reeves, slow to believe. Peace be still, he says to the sea. And it becomes peace. It becomes still. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. His eternal love, a love that was set upon His people before the world ever was, our Lord and Savior predestinated us to be the children by adoption to Himself, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Turn to the book of Luke, if you would, please. Chapter 24. Folks, you and I, just like Jacob, just like the sons of Jacob, walked proud in our own selves. Straight. Look at John, he's not that bad of a guy. Yeah, he stole a car or two here and there, but he never killed anybody. Yeah, he did this, but he never did that. John's not such a bad guy, is he? We walk straight in our own self-righteousness, but now we've been transformed, reborn, turned from what we once thought of ourselves, and now we walk differently. We walk by faith, not by sight, by faith in our Lord and Savior. You know what faith means? Believe. Whosoever believeth in me, our Lord and Savior says, whosoever believeth in me shall be saved. That's what that means. Believe in Him. Believe His Word. We walk by faith. We walk differently. Jacob walked with a limp, and he was humbled by God. He walked with that limp from that moment on, to be reminded of that wrestle that he had with God, the wrestling with his sin, and the victory that he had in his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. With a new understanding of who the Savior is, a newness of mind of whom it is that rules all things, our God revealed Himself to this man in the same way He reveals Himself to all of His elect. He reveals Himself in the face of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. As spiritual sons and daughters of Jacob, we are not consumed for that very same reason, because of Christ. We once acted like them, we once walked like them, but God... God, who is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad for mercy? I know what I was before my Savior called me. I was lost in my sins. Because of His love, because of His mercy, because of His grace, I am not consumed. Being born again with a new heart that believes on the Lord Jesus according to His Word, all of His Word, I am a sinner saved by grace. Not of works, lest I should boast. Folks, Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners, and His sheep shall hear His voice. Do you hear the voice of God speaking from His Word? Do you hear Him speaking to your heart? Does your heart burn to listen to the preaching of His gospel? Our Lord does not change. He was doing the same thing with His people then as He's doing right now. Calling them because He has loved them out of the darkness that we once walked in to walk in His light, in truth and in spirit. Look at verse 13 of Luke chapter 24, and I'll bring this to a close. And behold, two of them, speaking of His disciples, went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Our Lord had just gone to the cross, had died and was buried. And they were, wow, I thought He was going to be our king. Man, what happened? I thought He was going to be our ruler forever. I thought He was going to be our Lord. I thought He was going to save us from the rule of the Romans. What in the world happened? And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and He went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? They were broken down. What happened to this guy that we were just following around all over the country? He's dead. He couldn't even save himself. And as we saw in the last message, aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that He couldn't save Himself? That He had to go to that cross? Because of going to that cross, you and I are saved. What happened to that man? Oh. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Everybody saw and everybody was there. Everybody was over at Golgotha on Calvary at that mount. Didn't you hear what was going on? Art thou a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And He, our Lord, said, what things? He who knows all, ask them. What things? Tell me. Tell me what happened. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in the deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were earlier at the sepulchre, and when they found not His body, somebody came along and stole Him. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so that the women had said, but Him they saw not. And then He, our Lord, said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, our Lord, folks, has not changed. The gospel message throughout time has always been the same. Salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. Adam taught his boys about the sacrifice of Christ. How else could Abel have known the only sacrifice God would accept is a slaughtered animal, the blood of an animal? A picture of the blood of our Lord and Savior, the spotless Lamb of God. The gospel has not changed. In the beginning of Moses, all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he went have gone no further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in and tarried with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And here's what I want to close with. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened us to scriptures?" Does your heart burn within you when you hear these words? "I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." I praise my Lord for loving me. I love my Lord for loving me because he first loved me. I love my Lord because he didn't leave John Reeves to himself, but called me unto him, casting out, cutting away that old stony heart that said, "I will not have this one rule over me," and giving me a heart that gets down on my knee and thanks him for ruling over me and praises him for ruling over me. What mercy, what grace our God has for the people he has loved. Amen.